face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
As Jones takes the step. Now Gregory rushes inside. Jones fires down the middle for Bourne. Makes the catch. Goodbye. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Touchdown, Patriots.
Holy crap.
A holy crap moment on Sunday night. Big touchdown for Kendrick Bourne, who joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Brought to us today by Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Eastern Massachusetts. They are currently seeking more male mentors for youth and high schoolers in our community. A little time commitment can make a big difference. Sign up today.
That's right, guys.
At emassbigs.org. More on that in a moment. Kendrick, hello. How are you?
Hey, guys, I'm blessed, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, I had a hell of a time calling that one. Did you think you had the game won on that? Because the place erupted, and then I looked up and I saw 2:11 on the clock, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I didn't really know what to think, man, after, you know, the play before. I was just kind of like, wow, that was a change in emotion and everything and so fast of time. And I was just like, hopefully the defense can, you know, hold them and stop them, because we got that 2-point conversion, so that was pretty clutch too, man. And we know the result, but I was just hoping the defense, you know, could get a stop. But crazy game, man, crazy game.
When you are running down the field on a play like that, at what point do you think to yourself, I do want to peer up into that video board and see if there's anyone in hot pursuit, or see what kind of distance I have between me and the next defender? At what point do you think to do that?
Nah, no doubt. I just was like shocked, man, because, you know, I'm thinking, okay, the safety, I obviously see the safety, and he just kind of went for the ball, and I pride myself on stepping to the ball, going through it, and I find good results in that usually, man, and at the right time, I just, you know, kind of did my technique, and I just came scot-free, and I was like, wow, I thought I was going to get hit at first, you know, but just focusing on the ball, not worrying about the hit, just made the play, you know, crazy as it was, man. I was really just shocked, but I saw him running in the Jumbotron, so I was like, oh, I was about to spread my arms open, like, man, what? Because I was so just excited, man, and I saw Diggs start running, so I was like, oh, no, let me get this in here, because that change of events, I don't want nothing like that to go again. But like I said, man, just a crazy emotional moment, man.
Kendrick, 18 catches to this point in the season, and we're 6 games in now. I wanted to ask you, because a lot of receivers have come to New England from other teams, and they've had some difficulty in picking up the offense and figuring out, you know, how the terminology works and how the playbook sort of functions. How's it been for you? How's the transition been to becoming a Patriot and working within this offense and being a part of it?
Man, I've just been taking it day by day, you know, week by week, and just learning as I go. I've definitely grown a lot, and it's definitely difficult, but, you know, everything in the league is hard, man. So it was just about studying extra, you know, really getting into the playbook, and it just shows when, you know, you really do it. Like I just get a lot more comfortable out there, you know, taking it from the playbook to the field. But it's definitely hard, man. You know, Josh, he has different packages for us, and we just have to be locked in, man. He knows how to use us well. So just not getting these wins these last few weeks, you know, it's tough. But we definitely have the team and the pieces we need to, you know, compete to get to the playoffs or a Super Bowl, you know, so it's just about us consistently growing with each other and trying to find ways to get better every day. But we got a good team, because we got new guys, so it's about all of us, you know, learn that playbook. And I think it's going well. It's just we got to finish better, and it's really a hard offense. But I'm excited about, you know, what's to come, because, you know, it's early, but it's time to step it up now too.
Kendrick, I've seen some of the videos you've posted, your home tours, the master bedroom, glorious. The bed is out of control.
is it two mattresses pushed together? What? It's the biggest bed I've ever seen in my life.
That is funny.
Come on, you don't need all that space. It's
depends on how many people you got in bed.
It's borderline ridiculous, Kendrick.
It really is. It really is, dude. I got two kids, so I'm going to just have them two in it. But, man, I'm just being extra, man, you know, fruits of my labor, man. It's really just funny. And I'm just really proud of myself of getting a house, you know, coming here with New England. And that was a big goal of mine to get a house and, you know, just living the dream, man. Just, you know, that it's definitely extra, but the bed is really comfortable. I got to get a bed frame, too.
Wait, you got to get some furniture in there. You can't have a TV tray for a nightstand.
No, that's the cool thing about that. It's like those commercials where, like, the block punt or whatever, when they, you know, the guy's sitting in front of the stereo and it just, like, blows.
No, that's the TV in the master. The TV in the master is bigger than any TV any of us have anywhere in our homes. It's amazing.
You just put separate sets of sheets on that, right? They don't make sheets for when you put two beds together.
So, yeah, custom. So I have custom sheets. I have like four sets of sheets, blankets. So it's just crazy, man.
Yeah, this is a custom situation.
You have to go down to Newport and like go to a sales shop. You know, it's like you can't. No, it's not for my boat necessarily. Just I need something big.
For my bed, yeah. Bigger. Hey, you mentioned coming to New England, and I watched a lot of you because, you know, we obviously had Jimmy here behind Tom, you know, for 4 years, and then Jimmy goes to San Francisco. And there's a lot of talk about Kittle and this and that, but you stuck out a lot on that backside X stuff, you know, on the slants and, you know, the in cuts, and I think that's your forte. But when you get in the huddle and you catch the ball from Mac, how much is different from what the way Jimmy delivered the ball in the pocket from a timing perspective, from a velocity perspective, and now you're dealing with a 23-year-old rookie? What's the difference?
Yeah, no doubt. That's a great question, man. I would say the velocity part is just Max, he's throwing it hard, but when you catch it, it's like a pillow, man. I could definitely say that, dude. He's special, man. And Jimmy's more of he's got a rifle, and it comes in harder. So that's the difference I would say about the two. Timing-wise, I wouldn't say nothing different. You know, they're both are pretty solid. You know, it's all about pocket pressure, stuff like that. So velocity is just the most difference between them. That's what I would say. But Mac, man, I'm just really blessed to, you know, be in a situation with him and starting this new, you know, era of New England football that, you know, it's the same, but it's just new players. And I'm just glad to be a part of it, man. And we, you know, we are showing a lot of flashes, and I'm just very appreciative of that because, you know, it shows we got potential. And if you got potential, you know, the ceiling's high. And that's where I'm riding on. And I, you know, I love going out there and helping and being a part. Like, that play was just amazing, too. And it's just crazy how it's all playing out. But the future is really bright, as we all can see.
Do you feel that's like that type of game where I think you guys had four shots? I think it was 4-4 on throws of 20 or more. Now, there's been a lot of talk and pressure from the outside, and I know Bill tells you guys ignore the noise, but let's push the ball downfield. Let's take more chances. Do you feel like that's the type of game where, okay, we're starting to see we can make plays down the field now and start pushing it?
Yeah, like no doubt, because, you know, like we have a lot of pieces, man, and it really comes together a lot of times. You know, we just got to finish better in the red zone. And just finish the game better. You know, we got a lot of opportunities. You know, we got the coin toss and OT. We just got to finish, man. And that's how we got to think. Like, you get like that sequence of the plays I had. That, you know, my first target, I didn't have a target in, and I had that play with Diggs, and it was just like, man, how do I act? How do I react? And my mind was just next play, and I was really proud of myself and how that play went. But then, you know, we still got a lot of time. We went overtime. So now, you know, it's what's next. And I've just been priding myself on thinking like that over and over again. And, you know, as a team, we need to think like that. And that would just help us, you know, finish better and get the results we want.
Now, I know generally speaking, you're a pretty positive guy, but you sound pretty positive about the direction of things and putting it all together and turning the record into a much better record over the coming weeks. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yes, no doubt, man. You know, we still got a chance, just like the same feeling. You know, what's next? What are we going to do? We have the pieces we need. It's just, we're right there. So it's like a science project we got to get deep down into, man. And I believe we're going to find it. And it's all about the players, you know, playing their part as best they can.
Yeah, I think Devin McCourty, sorry to interrupt you, but said that the other night, that we need to get away. We need to get away for a night. And because it was so upsetting, you know, you guys go and I say you ride that emotion, you know, seemed like there's more juice in Tampa, and in Houston it was tough. And you got the Jets this weekend, and how tough is that, that sort of emotional roller coaster where, you know, you got to address each opponent the same and treat them the same?
Yeah, dude, look, it really comes down to your mental strength, you know, like how far can you take it, how much can you take, you know, without showing you know, down or whatever it may be. Because like you said, what you just said is crazy in itself, man. It's tough. It's an emotional roller coaster. And you got to control, like I was saying the day in the interview, just embracing the emotions, man, you know, feeling them and not running from them is the best way I've learned through, you know, my few years in the league. And it's just helped me get to the next step in my chapter or whatever. And that goes for anybody. And that's just the way I feel like you got to think. You got to be mentally tough, emotionally tough, like, and physically tough. Like, it all plays a part in football. And if one, you know, if one of those emotions or your physical, you know, is down, it affects what you do. So everything affects you, like, physically, it's going to show. So it's just crazy, man. You got to be tough. And, you know, I've been built like that, and coming to the Patriots have enhanced me in that way. So just as we know how the Patriots are, and I'm appreciative of that, man. Like, they're helping my career, and I'm trying to help the team and the organization. So, like, that's really my mindset, and I hope everyone's thinking like that on the team.
Kendrick Bourne is with us thanks to Big Brothers Big Sisters of Eastern Massachusetts, currently seeking more male mentors. A couple questions for you on that, Kendrick. I know this is something that's important to you. Why is mentoring so important to you, and who are some of the mentors in your life?
Yeah, man. I had my dad in my life, you know, all my life through my young years, my brother, older brothers. Those were the main guys. My high school coach was a big one. And they just really were there for me at a crucial time in my life, you know, when I had making my own decisions, when I don't really know whether I should skip school, go to school, you know, come to practice, not come to practice. And my high school coach was really there for me, you know, when I'm at school, telling me which way to go, showing me how to, you know, get recruited and everything like that. He was just right there. Like, he was the signal to go this way. And I went that way with him. And he was just one of those guys that helped me at that age of, you know, I don't know which way to go. And my brothers, you know, going through their kind of situations they've been through young before me, and just listening to their stories, you know, learning which way not to go. They're helping me, you know, go to practice, go to school, do your stuff. And my pops was really a tough love kind of guy. He, you know, didn't let me party, nothing like that. I didn't have a cell phone in high school. Like, he was disciplining me really well. And I didn't see it at that age, and I didn't know what the plan I had. My vision was really blurry, and that's what my thing about Big Brothers Big Sisters. I want to be that, you know, vision for a kid. Like, you know, I've seen it, I've been through it, and I want to help you, you know, clear that vision. And that's the biggest thing for me. So, you know, my brother, I would say my brother, my dad, and my high school coach that I met were really the big difference maker, and, you know, where I'm at today. And I, you know, just giving back is the biggest thing.
And just like you said, a little bit of time can make a huge difference in a kid's life. So get to emassbigs.org is the website. Kendrick, appreciate your time. Thanks for checking in. It's great.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Kendrick Bourne joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline on Zolak and Bertrand. Oh, thanks to him. Guy brings the energy.
I like him a lot.
You'd have to have a special washing machine to wash a sheet that size. Like, you put your normal sheets into the washing machine. And it's like,
well, you could put a set of sheets in, but for him, you'd have to put each individual sheet into the washing machine one at a time so you don't clog it all up.
Next time, we'll ask him.
And if you still have the agitator in there, oh, that thing is going to get wrapped around that agitator like you wouldn't even believe.
Hey, easy. Let's just hope that's
Let's
hope it's a front-loading situation.
I don't have an agitator.
Well, a lot of people don't have them anymore.
Yeah, why is that?
They've sort of done away with
those. Because of the big sheets.
You serious?
Because of Kendrick Bourne. Yes. That's why.
Big appliance.
I bet he doesn't hang them on a clothesline outside to, like, get the spring fresh air.
Probably not. Yeah. Says dad bought him a leaf blower, too, in one of the videos, which is nice. That's a good dad gift.
It's a great gift.
Does it plug in?
It was electric. I got no problems with, you know, for you know.
I got an electric one.
Right, yeah, for, like, you know, residential purposes. You can get away with battery on a lot of
blow
that
start.
Stuff. Yeah. But, no. But for.
But, I mean, unless you get the souped up one. I mean, they have really good gas ones where you get the
Well, that's why I'm saying the gas ones are more powerful, but for light duty work, there's nothing wrong with
the electric's fine.
20 volt. Yeah, you're
blow out the driveway, right. Blow out the garage.
You're fine.
Yeah. You're fine. Blow out your beds.
Yeah. All that. Couple Patriots items to get to a couple days after they lose to the Cowboys. We're taking the Red Sox calls all day long. We'll mix in some Pats coming up next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
I'm just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zorak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bill Belichick has started the year 2-4. He started the year 2-4 in other years of his career. One of those times was last year, finished 7-9. Another one of those years, though, was the year 2000, his first year in New England. And that obviously was a year with little to no expectations for the team. Bill Belichick came to the Patriots in an offseason trade that year. The question becomes, is this Bill Belichick's worst year of his career right now?
I don't know that yet. Got to see how it plays out.
Is this the worst six-game start?
I don't think so.
Any year in his career, and I think when you say that, you know, is it his worst 2-4 start? I think it is. Is it the worst year period of his NFL career?
You look at the losses in the other 2-4. Like, did they get their asses kicked in it? Like, they haven't got their asses kicked. Like, you remember that Detroit game? Like, you bring that one up.
That's right. I forgot that you're into the moral victories this year.
No, I'm not into the moral victories,
but you sort of are.
But it's like, yeah.
His first year in Cleveland, starting out 2-4, right? Were there any expectations for Bill Belichick in his first year in Cleveland in 1991 or his first year in New England in the year 2000?
No, because you're not the guy you are now. No.
And not only that, you're taking over a team that obviously was terrible and needed to be rebuilt.
Right. Like, what are the expectations for Urban Meyer taking over in Jacksonville?
Right.
Are they going to be 10-7?
No. Is anyone saying that the record there is a disaster? I don't think so.
No.
So I think it's his worst 2-4 start. There are expectations this year. They were not expected to be 2-4.
But, like, and I know we just had Kedrick Bourne on. A lot of great responses. People love the Bourne interview. I think he's a fantastic interview. I hope we keep him for a while here. But he said something interesting that, you know, it's tough to pick up, yeah, but we're working hard. We got a lot of new guys, and we're building something here. Part of that build, you know, we're working towards something. We just got to keep, you know, and if that mindset is, hey, you know, last year wasn't the rebuild. You know, like, this is part of, you know, getting to where you want to be, and they're still a year away from that. That's what you got to wonder. But there's different circumstances, different expectations when you go and bring in the two receivers, the two tight ends, and you pay them that kind of money. You know, this isn't like, okay, this is our, you know, 5-pick draft class. And we got the first-round quarterback. We got a second-round receiver. We got a third-round tight end. We got another fourth-round tight end. We got this other receiver. We got in the sixth round, and he popped, and he made the team. It's not the case. You're bringing in all these free agents that the expectations are instantaneous, you know, sort of reset. And maybe they're going through it now, looking at it like, we're close. We just got to get these guys to get clicking. I don't know if they're going to click. It's up to them. It's up to that guy to call, you know. They got to figure that out. Man, are the coaches putting them in the right positions to do that? It's part of that whole thing when you get to the question about Belichick, you know, is this Is this one of his not so good years?
I think that there are two really bad years in his career, one of which he recovered from, and I think the question is he going to recover from this if they continue down this path? They continue to be a bad team. The other year, I think, is 93, when Belichick let Bernie Kosar go, and they loved him in Cleveland, and they let him go, and for some reason, Bill thought that was going to work, and it most certainly didn't, and they wanted his head in Cleveland. They wanted him fired in 93, and he ended up going 7-9 for his second straight year, and that was his third year in. So his first 3 years in Cleveland, 6-10, 7-9, 7-9. And that third straight losing season, I think they had just about had enough of Bill Belichick there. And he hung on, and he then went 11-5 in 94. And we know that he was in the playoffs, and we know that he played the Patriots and all of that. But he recovered. Is he going to recover from this? If it's another losing season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he will. Like, yeah, because I think he puts too much into it. Yep. I know there's reports like, oh, he's different now. He takes some stuff off. He'll
recover from 8-9. He'll maybe recover from 7-10.
6-11 strains you. 5-12 strains you.
6-11, you
different type of stress there.
Four more wins on the docket. You finish at 6-11.
You gotta get more than 7 wins this year. 7-9 last year. That's not a good team last year. He even said it. No, he didn't come out and say that's not good. But hey,
I mean,
you know the situation we're in. We went for it in other years. We couldn't this year.
Not to be an obvious jerk about it, but they're trending towards 6-11.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie. You are what you are. You're 2-4. That's trending towards that. Yes.
So if there's improvement.
That's how big this game was the other night. That's why it's so devastating. That's why McCourty said, we need a night off. We got to get away from this. Usually say that around week 10, week 12.
Yeah.
Because like where you were past the bye, we're worn out, we're dinged up, we're nicked. It's a victory move. I mean, he gave him a victory Monday after Houston. Are they that good a team that they deserve a victory Monday? See you Wednesday? 5 games in?
Doesn't feel like it.
Don't feel like it. Usually you get that bone thrown to you around mid-year. But, hey, he knows his team better than us. I don't know. Did they respond? I thought they played hard against Dallas. They screwed up a lot of things, too, though. Made mistakes. You can play hard and make mistakes. That's part of the game. They need to minimize that. Dallas made many mistakes.
So
many mistakes. But I think talent helped clear up mistakes and coaching to where your talent couldn't take over for what you screwed up.
So in his previous, again, 2-4 starts that happened in 16 game seasons, he finished with 6 wins, 5 wins, and 7 wins. 7 wins is the most wins he finished with. If he finishes with 7-9 again for a second straight year, the way he did in back-to-back years in 92 and 93, which he recovered from in Cleveland, can he recover from it again here in New England and get to an 11-6 or 12-5 year with a 17-game schedule a year from now? Is that in the cards? Is that possible? Is that what he's going to be angling for? And is he up for it is really a question. If he wants to get to that record, does he look at this team and look at this roster and see the upgrades that he made, his decision-making, and say, this is a team that over the next few years I can get to that record with? I think you got to start thinking big picture based on where this record is going.
Yeah, and I mean, like, what's he really believe? Like, and I heard Ted Johnson say today, like, I never heard that stuff. Like, hey, we went toe-to-toe with them for 60 minutes. Like, Ted would be like, after big games, big losses like that, you'd be like, oh, we need to do this better. We need to coach better. We need to play better. We need to be situationally more aware. Like, you send that, like, Bill talks to his team. He's right. Bill talks to his team through the media.
Yeah.
That's part of it. There's always a message here. We're on to Cincinnati. Guys are not talking about the past. We're on to Cincinnati.
Maybe he's fearful of losing the team.
Maybe when, Bill. When maybe this is.
You weren't 2-4. I don't believe. What was the record at that point?
Everybody's
been, suffered a bad, bad loss.
Everybody on the Brady side's bitching about Bill not adapting to the modern athlete, right? And we talked about that with Cora. We had that call early. Cora knows how to deal with the modern athlete. Maybe this is Bill trying to recognize, I need to be different here. I just can't sit there and say, hey, I need to coach better, play better, do this better. Maybe he knew. Maybe
or else
feels,
McCourty would be saying a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we got to get away.
Well, I mean, that's Bill recognizing too. Last week, he's like, they're getting tired and we're straining them. I need to give them a victory Monday, see you Wednesday, even though they all probably came in Monday and worked out. You know, that's a little bit of a test, too. Let's see who really takes the day off. So,
all right, let's talk more about that. 617-779-0985. The future of Bill, if this season continues going down the road it's going right now, or if maybe they're able to get an exit and get off the highway and go somewhere else other than what they're trending toward at the end of this year. And also a stat about the day that Mac Jones had and involved our previous guest, Kendrick Bourne. Mac Jones was better in this game on one particular item. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Zoe and Beetle, working to keep you up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
you
know
smelled
it. You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jones changing the play. Leans forward, takes the snap. An extra rusher coming. Pocket holding. Jones off the back foot. Throws for Aguilar. Here. Makes the catch outside of the 30. Down the right sideline. First down, New England.
Plays for Mac Jones in Sunday's game against the Cowboys. We talked to Kendrick Bourne earlier. Our thanks again to him. I'd like to get him around here more often. It's a good interview.
He's good.
Some guys can just do
it right away. First one. First time I heard him in camp, like, this guy's going to be good.
He's got a little personality. He's got a giant bed.
Energy. I look at that bed.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You catch any of the pregame show on Sunday when you're in the booth? So I think you were overhearing some of the things we were talking about.
That's fist bumping. Yeah.
Just yelling.
You and Gasper going at it.
Yep. Yeah, a little bit.
It's about my eighth bowl of potato salad.
Yeah. Oh, the potato salad. Zoe is raving about it, telling everybody to eat the potato salad.
It had a perfect amount of mustard in it, which gave it the yellow color. Yeah.
Pro Football Focus had Mac Jones as the second highest rated quarterback in week six, giving him a grade of 92.2 out of 100. That grade ranks second among all quarterbacks going into what was last night's game between Buffalo and Tennessee. That's exciting. But here's the stat that we want to give to Chris Gasper to follow up on Sunday's pregame. This is an FU Gasper stat. FU Gasper. All right.
Okay.
And I only say this and I only do that, Hardy, because Gasper, I love Chris Gasper, but he's in a lot of beefs lately.
Because he cares. He's this really because Beetle up. Cares. It's one of those things. Yeah.
And I just want to get in the mix. I want to feel like I'm involved.
Mm. Should we give him a nickname like Tweet Beef? Should we come up with something? Because that was a
just beef.
something that. Being online and being very friendly, being very cordial.
The one that got me was the one he went at Bob, and he prefaced it with, Bob, with all due respect, I do respect you.
Greetings and salutations, kind sir.
Like, but you're now here it comes.
I challenge you to a duel.
I would just like to say this. I do respect you, Chris Gasper, very much. And I say this with all due respect.
We know what that means.
But, however... Pro Football Focus, as we know, had Mac Jones on the throws of the passes that traveled 20 plus yards down the field. Mm-hmm. As 4 of 19 going into the weekend, he was 4 of 4 against Dallas on those throws for 144 yards and 2 scores. Mac Jones could have had Well, I don't know that the ball traveled 20 yards in the air to the Aguilar drop, right?
Henry Bourne. Yeah, the ball did not travel. It was like an 8-yard throw to Aguilar.
Yeah, it was short.
It was a quick slant.
Short throw. Yep. I was thinking maybe there was a chance for another one.
Yep.
There wasn't. But 4-4 for 144 and two scores. That's all. If we need to keep checking that scoreboard.
Yeah, the Jacoby Myers touchdown call back, too.
So what that shows you.
That was more than 20, right?
What that shows you is Mac Jones is very capable of doing this. It's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of the offense functioning well and having those plays there and guys actually catching the football and not dropping it and guys actually getting after it and maybe having – I mean, you look at these receivers in this offense. What's the catch radius of the average Patriots receiver right now, Zoe?
6 inches.
Small windows.
Size of a football.
Yeah, very small, small windows. But somehow this has gone back on the quarterback, according to Gasper, that he shares in that responsibility in a significant way. And I'm not trying to completely eliminate all blame from Mac Jones. I'm really not.
I said it sounds
that way, but I'm not.
I said he has to be almost perfect.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And Chris doesn't see that problem. So with all due respect, Gasper, let's hope that the rest of the offense can continue to block and guys will get open and guys will actually have more than the 6-inch catch radius that we have described here for them to continue to have success down the field.
Paulie in the truck called in. Mm-hmm. You know, the same one who gave Tom Morgan his great nickname of Morg, spelled like a death morgue.
Oh, yeah. Morgan. Yeah, that's right.
That was probably his best
Morg
nickname.
Morg and...
Paulie says we should call him Grasper. Because he's always grasping at things, you know, kind of a reach to make a point. It's not bad.
But you got to call him Chris Grasper.
Chris Grasper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Grasper.
They sound like Wallach.
Chris Grasper.
They get Marshall in here.
77 Lather.
Chris Grasper.
Chris, I can't even say that. Chris Grasper.
Now, I'm in the beef.
You're in the beef now.
It's going to make pregame better. Jet pregame. You need to jazz that up.
Yeah,
but that's just facts, Beetle.
Oh, just stats. But now that the debate is now, T-Bone, why is it that those stats are the stats? Because Gasper, if he were here, I'm going to speak for him now with all due respect. I respect him very much. With all due respect, he would say, I actually do. He would say, well, that's because Mac had a better day. Mac was more accurate. Mac did his job.
He was more dialed in. He's more dialed in.
That's what I'll tell you.
So that's why. Whereas I would say, yeah, he did make good throws, of course. But he's always capable of making those throws when the plays are there. And I'm not going to downgrade him for taking some shots down the field that might be ill-advised, that might be low-percentage plays. Because as the great Bruce Arians would say,
what?
Super Bowl champion head coach Bruce Arians, owner of another terrific record this year in Tampa Bay. No risk it, no biscuit, baby.
He is. Let me see. So they're what? 5-1. So he's 72-47-1 as a head coach. That guy.
Did you just give like four numbers? Wait, say that one more.
72-47-1, I think is his record.
Okay.
As a head coach with one coach of the year.
I thought he said 72-40. 7-1.
I was counting. I was adding. I know we had 46 losses. I think they only had one
What's
loss.
What's the one?
Regulation loss.
They tied.
What are you reading the hockey standings?
I think he's 72-47-1. I don't know. Look it up. Look at Bruce Arians. Like,
72.
I, that's 40, just off the top of my head.
Seven and one. Seven ties. That's that's a lot.
7-1. What? One kissing your sister. Yeah.
All right, let's get back to your calls on both Patriots and Red Sox. We'll do it next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
So do I.
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think Mac Jones is a solid quarterback. But to come in here today and say that he played great, I don't agree with that.
Let me let Rex break the tie, because you have been a Mac Jones questioner here on this show. Your thoughts
on
him?
Still am. Look, I don't think he has that arm talent. Yeah. And I mentioned it. I said a pea shooter.
Right.
But at face facts, I think the guy played really well in this game. Look, he does throw the ball with anticipation and timing and all that. He's a smart guy. I just don't think he has that NFL hose. And that's why I think later when it gets to, you know, the cold weather and all that, I think it's going to show up.
Rex Ryan thinks that Mac Jones does not have an NFL hose.
Ryan Mallett did.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Plenty of guys who had rockets for arms and couldn't play quarterback all that well.
10-cent head. Right. I'm not saying Mallett. I'm just saying, I remember guys in my time, like, they could throw it through a wall. Jim Druckenmiller had one of the strongest arms, but he's like, boom!
And Jamarcus Russell, could remember that? He could throw over 70 yards from his knees. He could do it. But you do have to have a good arm. Does he have a good arm? Does Mac Jones have a good arm?
Yeah.
I think it's average. Average arm.
It's, you know what it is?
I don't think it's better than average.
He makes up with it with the rotation.
He makes up with it. As you heard Kendrick Bourne tell us earlier in the interview.
He doesn't throw ducks.
How did he describe it when the ball hits his hands? He'd say it was like a pillow?
Like a pillow?
Like a pillow.
It's the delivery in the
like a pillow on a giant bed.
He said, Jimmy had a rocket. You know, Jimmy fired in there.
Jimmy could spin it.
Mac's like a pillow.
What would you rather have? Like a guy to lay it there to give you the catchable ball?
Oh.
Or guy's going to throw it to the wall that you got to like, oh. See, I think that's him. He's describing it. I turn and psh, it's like it's easy to catch as a pillow.
But the best guys are the accurate ones that also have a strong arm. Those are the most dangerous players. But those guys get into the trouble of always wanting to chuck it down the field.
Right.
That's the danger in some of those players.
That's the Stafford part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what may have hurt Stafford at times in Detroit. You know?
But I would not describe Mac Jones's arm as being a above average arm in the NFL.
That's fair. It's good enough. Yeah.
It's fine. It's just okay. That's not his strength. That's not his game.
I've seen it in real time, and I think he's got great rotation on his ball. That helps cut the air better.
I think what Rex is saying here is valid, but I think it comes off as him moving the goalposts, because this is not what he was talking about a week ago when he was crapping all over Mac Jones. He did call him a pea shooter. He did say that, but he was sort of mocking the ability to play the position more so than he was his arm there when he called him that, because he was talking about all the short yardage and the checkdowns and everything that he was mentioning. He was not talking about his inability to throw down the field. That's not what he was mentioning. But I would also like to say again, with all due respect, Rex, and all due respect, Chris Gasper, 4-for-4 on throws over 20 yards this week. There's obviously some offensive improvement there, fellas. This is not the week for you crowing about Mac Jones. This is not it. Pick another time. Not today. 617-779 0985, the phone number. What do you want to go to, Zoe?
Mabel. Let's go to Mabel. Mabel's been hanging on.
No, she's not there.
She hung up. She said she couldn't wait any longer.
Everybody's been on hold a very similar amount of time.
Yeah, just pick one. I don't care.
All right, we'll go to the longest.
Go to Bob.
Hold on. We'll go to Tom in Dorchester first. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, guys? It's a good show. Listen, I want to tell you about, as far as Mac Jones goes, this kid needs 2 or 3 years. He'll be a top-notch quarterback. He'll be zipping that ball in there in 2 or 3 years. He's only a young kid with a young arm. He's a good quarterback. The trouble with the Patriots is they've got an overrated head coach, and their coaching staff, I think, is a lousy coaching staff. I'd like to see him get a new coaching staff, because the Patriots aren't going to do anything.
I can just tell, Bob, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it sounds like you've watched a lot of football in your day.
Yes.
Yeah.
It started in the 50s.
All right,
Tom, let me ask you.
You've seen Wyatt Tittle, right? You know, compared to Mac.
I've heard something the last couple of weeks that you can speak to. Does this Patriots team remind you of the Patriots of the 70s or the 80s? What happened to your phone, Tom? You're covering it up.
This Patriots is a good team. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you now.
All right. This Patriots team is a good team. These coaches aren't. I don't think these coaches are good. That's the problem with the whole thing. This kid, Mac Jones, is a good quarterback. I like him.
All right. I've heard that a lot. This is like the 70s when they come close and then they lose the game.
I don't know what the 70s were.
I've just heard it a lot. I don't either. Yeah. That's why I'm relying on those who were there for it. That's why we asked Tom. I thought,
who was the 70s quarterback? Was that Plunkett? And
Well, Plunkett was in there, but then later on would have been the start of Grogan.
Right.
Yeah. See, I think Steve was like 80s.
Yeah. Well, he was, but he started 78. Yeah, I guess
what was he, 14 year vet? 14, 16 years?
So I was watching the game last week with my dad. And Grogan got there in 75, and he was there in 1990. Was still around.
Wow.
Midway through the Houston game, I'm there, and I'm like, oh, my God, this game is a tractor pull. Like, this game, holy crap. This game is ugly.
Wasn't the case last week, though. See, that's the difference.
And my dad started laughing at me.
Because you don't remember tractor pull.
He laughed at me. Like,
what did he say?
Actual laughed out loud and said, this is because you don't remember the 80s. He said, that's why. And he laughed and thought it was very funny and was very amused with me suffering through the Houston game, that game a week ago, which thankfully the Patriots came back and won.
Do you know what Saturday is?
What's Saturday?
It's Hall of Fame induction down there.
Where?
At Patriot Place.
Oh,
Richard Seymour.
Big C's 93 is going in
on Saturday. Like, that just like came right out of nowhere.
That doesn't feel like it's been highly publicized.
That's one of your best players you've had, man, when the dynasty started. That dude was an anchor. That dude was a rock.
Are you emceeing?
I'm not.
Oh. Have you done that before?
I have every year.
Oh,
but it has changed.
You got fired?
I'm coaching. We got a game Saturday.
Oh, so were you asked?
I was asked if I have availability, but they knew my schedule also, and I think Bob's going to be doing it, so it's good.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now hold on. I'd like to share the information.
I think it's...
Give me a moment. Let me get to the website, Patriots Hall of Fame.
I think it's around 3 or 4.
Okay. It's, as always, free to the public. They're holding in the same spot as always, though?
Right there. Yeah. Right outside the hall.
Okay. Let me read from it. Hall of Fame induction ceremony, Saturday, October 23rd, 3 p.m.
Yeah.
At the Plaza, located just outside of the Patriots Hall of Fame and the Patriots Pro Shop. Near the gate in the lighthouse end zone there, right? Think that end of the stadium. Pro Shop, Hall of Fame, the old CBS scene, or whatever. What is it now?
It's a CBS Sporting Club.
Don't bring your gun.
Like sporting, shoot sports or skeet.
Yeah, no, right. Like, it's not a sporting club.
Sporting clubs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like cigars and shooting skeet.
Okay,
nope,
so there's the info. Fishing. Glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Saturday, 3 p.m., Richard Seymour goes into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
You folks have been great getting down there for all these guys. This guy deserves it, man. This guy's a yellow jacket type guy, yellow and red.
He deserves to go into the big Hall of Fame.
Yep.
The big boy Hall of Fame. Well, that's very exciting.
Yeah, because I brought it up with Coach, and he's like, yeah, we still show the guys film of Richard and like what we expect, what we want out of them. You know, you talk about that two-gap player. I remember one of the post-games.
They show the film. To,
of Richard, like to the current players, like, hey, this is
say you
this
do
is
this
what we want.
you do this, we'll trade you to Oakland. Is that what he tells
you? You do this, you're going to make a lot of money in this league.
Oh,
I don't think they say that, but this is one of our best players we've ever had here.
Yeah. We're late. We're going to have to grab the headlines here. We'll be right back, though. No commercials, and we will continue with your calls. Thanks.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.